Merry Christmas. That word merry really is to reveal to us the significance of the day. The full significance of Christmas, of course, can never be known except through an understanding of the nature of God. Unless you begin to really catch a glimpse of what God is, of the nature of God, of the functioning of God, you cannot, of course, understand the Christmas day, the significance of this day. Some of the Russians in high places do perceive the significance of this day, as is evidenced by the fact that they have forbidden its celebration and its ceremonies. They would hardly do this unless they knew that this is a day that must not be known, or rather the significance of this day must not be known, or men could not be kept in slavery. Think for a moment that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is eternally the same. That which is always has been. That which has been is now, that which is now will always be. And to understand this reveals to you immediately that Christmas did not begin 2,000 years ago. It began in the very beginning. In the very beginning, before time was. And whatever it was that took place 2,000 years ago was merely the revelation of an experience that has been continuous, not only since before Abraham was, but since before time was. God did not inaugurate anything 2,000 years ago. The significance of Christmas is this, that God planted a seed, the seed of his Son, the seed that was to evolve as his Son, and he planted this seed in human consciousness. The Son of God, the seed of the Son of God, was planted in human consciousness, not 2,000 years ago, but in the beginning. This seed that evolves as the Son of God, a spiritual influence, a spiritual power, is then planted in the consciousness of every individual ever born into human experience. No one can escape it. No one has ever existed or exists now or ever will exist without this seed implanted in his consciousness from the beginning and developing as the Son of God. The function of the Son of God was revealed to us clearly 2,000 years ago in the ministry of Jesus Christ when he revealed, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Not I, Jesus. If I speak of myself, I bear witness to a lie. I am my own self, can do nothing. But I, the Son of God, is come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. I am the bread, the meat, the wine, the water. I am the resurrection. I am life eternal. The Son of God is all of this. And the Son of God is in the midst of you. In the midst of every individual since the beginning of time. One of our students has sent me as a Christmas gift a most beautiful story. I can give you the essence of it, but not the beauty. It tells of an ancient king who himself was peaceful, just, merciful, and kind. But who had a neighbor king intent on war, on conquest. And this king, because of the nature of his own being, sent an ambassador to the neighboring king to seek peace. Meanwhile, of course, to protect his people, he had to prepare for war. And so from one end of the nation to the other, preparations were made for war, factories turned out war materials, and gradually the smiles faded from the faces of the people. Joy went out of their hearts. All of this, of course, in preparation for a war, and well, they probably knew the nature of war. The king kept praying for some means of changing this situation, of bringing about peace or harmony. And one day, the wife of one of his officers came to him and asked to reveal a secret to him. And she did. She whispered in his ear, and it made him smile, what she told him. And he told her to go out, meet other women of the city, tell them this secret, not the men, just the women. Confide to each woman in her ear this secret, and let it go throughout the city and the land. And then he went to his own wife, he told her the secret, and had her go out abroad in the land and meet the women and impart to them this great secret. And so from end to end of this nation, these women traveled, imparting this great secret to other women. And then, soon it was noticed that smiles began to return to the faces of the people, and singing was heard in the land again, and joy was abroad. And on Christmas, word came from the ambassador that a peace treaty had been signed. And the king issued an edict that all war preparations were to cease and that factories were to be turned to peace products, but he quickly learned it had already been done for several weeks. The factories had been changing over from war products to peace products, and this was part of the reason of the merriment in the land. And then, of course, the officers of the court all wanted to know, what is this great secret that has been given to our women and that has produced this great effect? And he told them, the secret is this. Whisper this to every woman. Every day, retire for a short period of silence. Go within yourself, but do not pray to God for peace. Do not pray for peace at all. Do not pray to God for anything at all. Just sit there in the silence and find peace within yourself. Feel peace within yourself and do this every day. And this was the great secret of peace in the land and joy and merriment again and peace with the neighbor. To many of you, this will not be a strange story because you have realized this. You cannot pray to God for peace in the nation or even peace for yourself. Why? God has planted peace in our souls. God has planted peace in our hearts and our minds. We have buried it there as humans. And we must return within and meet the peace that is within us, and then this peace that we find within us becomes the imprisoned splendor that escapes out into the world, and our neighbors feel it. We have been experiencing that in our Sunday mornings here, where we begin with this idea that if I meditate for 15 minutes with you and I find a peace within myself, if I find that center where the Son of God is planted in me and I become one with it, that imprisoned splendor escapes and you here all feel that peace. Then, as these weeks continued, and you felt the peace surrounding you, it made it easier for you to go within and make contact with that center within you, feel peace within you, and then that spread to your neighbor. But not only to the neighbor in this room. Because, you see, we started with only a few of us. But the peace that was found in your hearts, the peace that you established here in this room, went right through the walls and has reached others out in the world and drawn them here to feel that same peace. The function of the Son of God as planted within you is, of course, that you may have peace, that you may have life more abundant, that you may find within yourself all that the Father hath. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine, and it is planted within you. I think very often of this, that when we dig oil wells, when we mine for gold or silver, diamonds, when we dive for pearls, are we not bringing forth that which God has already planted in the midst of us? Are we responsible for all that is in the soil and all that is in the ocean and all that is in the air? Have we created this good in the earth, above the earth, and beneath the earth? Or has this all been placed here for our good? And of course the answer is that all of this in the earth has been accumulating, forming for the millions upon millions of years, probably even before there was a population here to need it. And all we do is bring forth that which God planted in the midst of us. Ah, but this is likewise true of the spiritual universe. God has planted in the midst of us His kingdom. Think of that. The kingdom of God is not in holy mountains or holy temples. The kingdom of God is neither low here nor low there. The kingdom of God is within you. How then are we to enjoy the kingdom of God? Except by finding it within ourselves, except by making contact, except by digging and diving. And the deeper we dig and the deeper we dive into that inner silence, that inner soul of our being, the greater the treasures that we bring forth. So it is, then. To understand this Christmas day, let us understand clearly that the secret of it is that God has planted the seed of Himself in each of us, the seed that really springs forth as the fully developed Son of God, whose mission it is that we may know fulfillment, that our lives may be fulfilled, that we may show forth the kingdom of God, the glory of God. As the Master revealed, since I can of my own self do nothing, since if I speak of myself I bear witness to a lie, then all that I am doing by my life is showing forth God's grace, God's wisdom, God's spirit, God's health, God's abundance. Then this must be the possibility and the potentiality of every individual on the face of the globe. Otherwise, it could not truthfully be said that God is from everlasting to everlasting, and that God is the same, and that God is no respecter of persons. In other words, then, if what God has done is forever, then since the beginning of time, mankind has had within his own soul the divine peace of God, the divine grace of God. And the mystery is, we cannot give it to our neighbors, nor can we receive it from our neighbors until we have found it within ourselves. What we haven't got, we cannot give. Scripture also says, to them that have most, of them the most shall be demanded. So it is. Of those who find peace within themselves, it is naturally to be expected that they will bestow this peace upon their neighbors. Think, just think for a moment. You cannot give what you haven't got. If you have not found the Christ within yourself, you cannot share the Christ with another. If you have not found peace toward all your neighbors, you have no peace to share with your neighbors, and you cannot bring peace forth from your neighbors. We were given this passage many years ago, that love is reflected in love. You remember that. Love is reflected in love. No one can draw to themselves love who is not expressing love. No one can draw to themselves abundance who is not expressing abundance. No one can draw to themselves peace except those who have found peace within themselves. Whatever it is that you would have, whatever it is that you would share with your family, your community, or the world at large, first must be found within yourself. Jesus had nothing to give the world until the Christ had been revealed in him. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and I am ordained to heal the sick. Think of this. Until that ordination, he was not ordained to heal the sick. One must first be ordained. One must be ordained with the Spirit of God before one has the spirit of peace, of joy, of love, of abundance to share. The significance of Christmas would be lost if we think that the Prince of Peace lived 2,000 years ago but is not on earth today. The Prince of Peace lived 2,000 years ago and 4,000 years ago, and the Prince of Peace is on earth today in the heart and in the souls, in the consciousness of every individual awaiting to be born, awaiting to be released into this world. And you see, we cannot do that by reforming our neighbor, not even our neighbors across the sea. We cannot do that by praying to God that God do something to our neighbor. It has to be done to us. Why not recognize our own barrenness before we start to demand things of others? And then, in the recognition of our own barrenness, let us leave our neighbors alone until we have gone within secretly and sacredly and silently and communed with the Prince of Peace that is within us, the Prince of Joy, the Prince of Health, the Prince of Wholeness, of Completeness, of Spiritual Perfection. Then, when we are no longer barren, when we have found some measure of Christhood within us, then we will not have to speak to our neighbor or ask peace of our neighbor. Nor will we have to pray to God for peace, for peace will be evolving from within ourselves to all mankind. The peace that passeth understanding is established within us. We, in our daily meditations, make contact with it, and then it is as if it were given release. It flew out from us like the dove of peace and began to spread its seeds all over this universe. To look for peace in another is to not only evade the issue and avoid it, it is really to prevent our own demonstration of peace. To look for justice in another, to look for mercy in another, to look for gratitude in another, this is all a mistake. We must find the kingdom of God that is within us, and this is our individual responsibility. This is why the Master spoke to the people on the shores of Galilee, in the mountains, by the lakes, in the desert, in the wilderness. Wherever two or more could be gathered together, He spoke to them, and he always used the word you or ye. You must forgive 70 times 7. You must pray for your enemy. You must seek first the kingdom of God that is within you. Always he was speaking to his hearers. He did not say this to Pilate, Herod. He did not say this to Caesar. He did not look to them for peace. He looked to you, knowing that if you found peace within yourself, that peace would envelop all mankind. So it is, you will discover, when you begin to take the responsibility for maintaining your own families in health and harmony, you will discover that the inner peace and harmony that you find in your moments of meditation becomes the health of your children, of the members of your family. It isn't that you demand any health of them or any good conduct of them. It is that you find it within yourself, and then it becomes a law unto them. And later, as you accept the responsibility, when your neighbor asks for help, or your friends and other relatives, you will find again. You do not say to them, be healthy. You do not say to them, be wealthy, or be just, or be merciful. You retire to that secret place within yourself, and there commune with this Son of God within you until this feeling of peace envelops you or descends upon you. And when you find your peace, you will find that those who have turned to you for help have received it. You have not transferred it to them by any mental abracadabra. You have not transferred it to them by suggestion or hypnotism. You have retired to the kingdom of God within yourself, and there found peace, found oneness or at-one-ment or spiritual communion with the Christ. And the moment that you have found this, the influence escapes from you and becomes a law of life and of love to those who have turned to you for help. It is one of the very earliest revelations given to me that it was not necessary for me to pray for anyone or to give treatments to anyone. It was necessary only for me to find my own inner peace, and then the peace that I found, the awareness of harmony, wholeness, completeness that I found, immediately became their experience because they had attuned themselves to my consciousness in the same way that the Master asks, do you believe that I can do this? Or those along the way, Master, Master, help me. Master, Master, heal me. And by their very reaching out to his consciousness, the woman that pressed through the throng and touched the hem of his robe came immediately into his consciousness, and then the peace that enveloped him descended upon her and upon all those who turned to him for help. But again, the significance of the Christ would be lost if you did not understand that that same healing Christ has never been crucified, has never been buried in a tomb. The healing Christ is the same Christ which is the Prince of Peace, which is within you, the Son of God planted within you from the beginning. We raise up the Son of God in us through our meditations, through an inner contemplation and communion with that Spirit that is within us. It is a miracle of grace that one with God is a majority. It is a miracle of grace that only two or more gather together find the entire kingdom of God in the midst of them. It is a miracle of grace that communing with the Son of God within us brings forth all that the Son of God is to our universe. That is why this, of course, must never be permitted to be known in a communist country, because this bears witness to the depth, the sanctity, and sacredness of an individual life. And under its system, if 100 million died, they wouldn't mind it. It is just a trifle, a drop in the bucket to accomplish their ends. Whereas with us, every single life is a miracle of God's grace. Every individual is an offspring of the Most High. The life of every individual is so sacred to us that we do not think it unusual. Well, if a doctor sat up all day and night to save one patient, we would hardly give him a medal for it. We expect it of him. We expect our entire medical world to devote itself to the saving of one individual life. Can you imagine what that type of life of religious teaching means as against the idea that man is dust and dirt and merely a number to be bandied about by leaders? It is for this reason that until the Western world really begins to appreciate the dignity of the individual man, it will not have the full moral force that will eventually bring peace on earth. Peace will not be established by military means. Peace will be established by the moral capacity of those nations who have grasped the significance of the value of an individual and the reason for that value. Surely, as a human being, as a mortal, an individual is not valuable. I of my own self can do nothing and am less than nothing. But it is because of the incarnation of the Christ that every individual is as important to God as the greatest of the prophets and saints and saviors, because every individual potentially is Christ, the Prince of Peace, the Son of God, the I that has come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. This I know too, that it is only necessary for 10 righteous men, it is only necessary for a few to realize the dignity, the sacredness of individual man to be such a moral force as will change the nature of a whole city's or state's or nation's elections and eventually govern international affairs. But there must be this lifting up of the Christian ideal of the nature of individual being and the reason for it. You cannot dignify yourself unless you know that it is because you are the offspring of God and that the Son of God is within you, that your life is really not yours, but God's life individually being expressed through you, as you, the mind of God individually manifested as your mind. You see, the moment that you look upon yourself as what you see in the mirror, you can find no reason for your existence on earth. If you examine the lives of most humans, you must wonder why they're even tolerated on the face of the globe. It is only when you begin to understand the nature of that which is inherent in us and that this now awaits our raising up in us for our redemption, for our salvation, for our functioning as children of God on earth. This is Christmas. This is the Christ Mass. Only that we realize that we are sent forth to show forth all of God's glory. I am come to do the will of my Father. So says the Master. This, because of the universal nature of God, is your function and mine, to do the will of the Master, that God's will may be done through us. Not your will and not mine. Our lives must be dedicated to that principle that I am on earth, that the will of God may be done through me. You see, there was no salvation, no saving for the Hebrew people until a Moses appeared after the revelation of the Son of God in him. I am that I am. There was no saving for the Hebrew people of the Master's day until the Christ was shown forth as the consciousness of Jesus. There was no Christ message carried to Europe until there was a Paul showing forth, manifesting the Christ that was within him. I can do all things through Christ that dwelleth in me. I live, yet not I, Christ dwelleth in me. And so the lesson that we gather, and I could go back with you for a couple of thousand years BC and show you the seven individuals of whom it is said that they were immaculately conceived, all of whom became great leaders of their people from a religious standpoint, and show you that the revelation is in agreement that God is manifest only as man. God appears on earth as man. And wherever there is an individual capable of putting himself or herself aside and realizing, I am here that God's will may be done through me. I am here that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. I am here so as to be an outlet for this imprisoned splendor. I am here that I may be used, that this Christ within may function for the benefit of all of those who are still in darkness. Do you not see then? Napoleon it was who said that every soldier has a marshal's baton in his knapsack. And this was merely saying what the Christian teaching is saying, that every man has within himself the full authority of a master. Everyone has within himself the full dignity of a master. Everyone has within himself the full authority of a master by the grace of God's presence in him. You see, then, the world has been fortunate in having Moses and Elijah and Elisha and Isaiah and Jesus and John and Paul and Buddha and Shankara, Nanak. The world has been fortunate in having these who caught the vision of the indwelling Spirit of God and who realized their divine nature. But all of these men taught the same thing. I am only a way shower. I am only a teacher. And if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. If you do not begin to perceive that that which has been revealed by the spiritual masters of the world is a universal principle, how then can this Christ become a universal revelation and demonstration? How can the kingdom of God come on earth if it doesn't come as individual man raised up to his Christhood? Do you expect for a moment that the people of this world of themselves are suddenly going to become good people instead of bad people? Or wise people instead of ignorant people? Do you think for a moment that there is anything that is going to change the human race from being what it always has been, a state of slavery, in a state of bondage, a state of mass ignorance? Do you think that the world will ever change from that except through the realization of the nature of Christmas? Of the nature of the fact that the seed of God is planted in human consciousness and that seed is planted in individual you and me, and we must bring forth our spiritual identity? There is no other way in which it can be done. The education of the schools, of course, is good and necessary, but you can't educate morality into anyone. And you cannot educate integrity into anyone. As a matter of fact, I suppose that our educated thieves are our most vicious ones, and our educated immoralists are our most vicious ones. Education does not create morality. Only the realization of the spiritual nature of our being can do that. Only the lifting up of the Christ in us can make us a world of people inspired with high spiritual and moral sense. No, you do not educate morals into anyone. You do not educate a spiritual sense into them. You bring it forth from within them by releasing it from within yourself. In no other way can the peace be established on earth except in the way that we could demonstrate it in this room. If I can find the peace of God in me, I will attract to me a little group, and they will find the peace of God established within them. And then they, finding the peace of God established within them, will draw it forth from others. And in no other way will this be done. Telling people they should be good, or that there should be peace on earth, or that there should be integrity in dealings, this doesn't accomplish it. Nothing accomplishes it, not even preaching sermons. If all the sermons that have been printed were actually in demonstration today, we would already have the kingdom of God on earth. But there is a secret, and the secret is that peace is locked up in you. And you must release the Prince of Peace from within you, and then let it do its work in the consciousness of all those who at this moment may be ready and receptive for the experience. Don't moralize to the world. Don't ask the world to be better than it is. Let us individually release the Prince of Peace within ourselves. Let us commune with the Spirit that is within us, and then, as it escapes, let it go before us to do its work. We will not be called upon to go out into the world. We will only be called upon to release the Spirit of Christ into the world, which is at the moment locked up within us. There is no spiritual value in all of the words that we utter. There is no spiritual or moral value in all of the lessons we teach or preach. The grace of God does not reach human consciousness by moralizing. We must retire to our homes, to our temples, to our hills and valleys, and we must find our peace within ourselves. We must become a center through which the grace of God can escape and be an invisible presence that goes before us to make the crooked places straight, to prepare mansions. Our greatest value to the world is in the periods of silence, secrecy, sacredness. Ah, yes. Every time that we look or see an individual and realize within ourselves that this grace of God is within them, we have become a light unto the world. Without voicing it, without speaking it, without uttering it, without writing it, merely by looking on an individual and realizing there too is the grace of God, there too is the Son of God. This is releasing the imprisoned splendor. This recognition of the indwelling Christ in friend and foe. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Pray. Pray for your enemies. By realizing there too goes the Son of God, not that human walking the earth, the seed planted in the midst of them, but your recognition of that seed is the very nurture that it needs to bring it forth. This seed that is within us, that lies buried, will remain a seed forever, until it receives its nurture, its nourishment. And that spiritual nourishment is recognition. The moment that I can look upon you and realize within you is the Son of God, the I that I am. Within you is the divine presence and the divine power. Right there is the grace of God. I am feeding. I am a light and rain too. Sunshine and rain to that seed. And then that seed in you begins to sprout and your nature changes without your knowing why. All of a sudden there develops in you a search for God, a seeking for reality. Until you find the message or the messenger that reveals to you, seek no further. It is within you. That which you are seeking is within you. That which you are seeking is the divine reality of you. The Son of God is in you. The Holy Grail is within your own consciousness. All of the sacredness of the Son of God is established within you. The eternality, the immortality, the infinite nature of God's being is your being. Because you and your Father are one. And all that the Father hath is established in you. His wisdom, His mind, His glory, His grace, His presence, His substance, His being, the very breath of His life is the breath of your life, for I and my Father are one. And in that oneness I find my allness. In that oneness I find my oneness with all of you. Only in my oneness with God am I at one with the Son of God in you. Only in your oneness with God are you at one with every spiritual light who has ever trod the globe, past, present, and future. Christmas, of course, then, reveals that God has planted His Son in you. Thank you. Thank you. Until next Sunday morning.